I want to get real for a moment. Let's get real for a moment. Because we all know where this is going. We all know where this is ending up. We know that this is ending up with all of us caught up in the Lord forever. We know that when we're there, you know, all of this, it's going to, I don't even know how much, maybe we'll remember it all. I don't know, but it won't matter. The things that seem to matter so much and the questions we have that seem to go unanswered really won't matter in the presence of the Lord, in His glorious presence. But along the way, there are just some very real hurts and disappointments. There's just no question. We've all been through them before. We will go through more of them in this life. And what do we do with those? You know, that's the question, is how do we approach God with those? And, you know, how do we approach Him in the midst of just severe disappointment and pain? And the first thing I want to tell you is you need to be brutally honest with God. You need to be as real as you possibly can be. Not to give God, not to play the part of a Christian, of a good Christian, what you think a good Christian should say or pray, but be real, as real as you can be. Just put it right out there. I assure you, He's big enough to take it. You know, some very people who are passionate about the Lord, there are times when they can be so upset, so angry, that they can cuss at God and, you know, get really mad, shake their fists. When you see Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof, that's you know, you're getting close. That's okay. It's very okay if that's what you're feeling. That's very okay to do that. You need to be extremely real. Psalm 62:8 says, "Pour out your hearts to Him. Just lay it on the table." Pour it all out. He knows it's in there anyway, so you might as well just put it out there. But here's the second part. As you're super real with God, to stay engaged with that. Stay connected with Him. Like, don't vent and run and turn your back and run. I mean, you can. He'll let you do that too. Of course, you can go to the far side of the sea and He'll be there before you get there. But you could try that. He'll still love you anyway. But in order to move through it, you need to stay engaged with Him. Like, be real, but then let Him meet you in that realness, in that rawness, in the hurt, in the anger, in the pain. I want to give you an example in Psalm 73. By the way, this is not at all what I had planned for tonight. But this is what we're going to do. I was going to talk about freedom and how freedom was not free for us. And even living in this country, it's not free. Psalm 73. The first part of the psalm, I'm not going to read it all. But it's a psalm of Asaph, and he is so real. And in a nutshell, he basically comes to the point of saying, why don't I just be like those who don't give a rip and do whatever I want to? It's easier. It's easier to do that than to keep going this faith thing. But then he begins to remember what happens to those who live that way and how quick the destruction is. And finally, what happens in verse 21, Psalm 73, verse 21, this is a description of what happens if he starts letting himself go to that place of just not caring, of saying, I give up, I don't want to do this anymore, it's too hard. Verse 21, my heart grew embittered, my affections dried up. I was stupid and uncomprehending, a clumsy animal in your presence. And verse 23, here's the key. Remember I said stay engaged. If you're feeling all those things, that's okay. Father loves you anyway, but stay engaged with him. He said, even so, I stayed in your presence. And you grasped me by the right hand. And you will guide me with advice. And you will draw me in the wake of your glory. You know what that means? You know that wake, like a boat that's coming and that water that flows in its wake, it gets sucked in. He's saying, guess what? If you get nuzzled up close enough to God, you just get swept right into his glory. Just by being close. And he says, he gets to the point, who else is there for me in heaven? And with you I lack nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh, they are pining away. My heart's rock, my portion is God forever. Truly, those who abandon you will perish. You destroy those who adulterously desert you. Whereas my happiness is to be near God. I have made the Lord Yahweh my refuge to tell of all your works. So because he stays engaged, he comes back around to the truth. This is just the way it is. You need to, another thing is to remember and remind yourself of his character. We were doing that tonight in worship. Remind yourself, remind yourself, remind yourself of who he is, because he cannot change. Psalm 77. It's the same thing. It's still a psalm of Asaph. Asaph has a lot of these psalms where he's crying out and he's very, very real about how grim things look. Verse 10, he says, and I said, this is what wounds me. The right hand of the Most High has lost its strength. Now tell me, is that true? No, it's not. Just because some people will point to it and say, you know, it's in the Bible, it's all true. Well, it is true as long as you look at what he's trying to say. In other words, he's being extremely honest right now. And he's saying, God, you know what hurts me? Is your hand is weak. Now, that is absolutely not true. But that's what he was feeling at that moment. Basically, he was saying, God, where are you? But the very next verse, remembering Yahweh's great deeds, remembering your wonders in the past, I reflect on all that you did. I ponder on all your great deeds. God, your ways are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who does marvelous deeds. So I just thought of this a minute ago, and if it works, great. I just want to, you know, if anyone wants to come up to this microphone and tell everyone something about God's character that is true to encourage us, come on. Let's hear some of it.
Brent, when you were talking, I thought about a movie. And I love movies and they speak to me. But I saw this movie once, and I don't know all the details, but I know it was a young mother, and she got pregnant with the first baby and then miscarried, or it was something dreadful. It was murdered, or the baby died, you know. And the mother just got real quiet, and she got real solemn, and her friends and even her husband were like, why is she not reacting? Why is she not reacting? And she had a really healthy relationship with her father. And the next scene is she goes into, her father is standing there, and she comes up to the father, and her father opens up his arms, and she comes up in a rage and starts beating on his chest, and just beating and beating, and he just keeps his arms open. And as she keeps beating, she just slowly melts. She melts into him, and then he holds her and holds her and holds her, and then she begins to weep. And he just holds her and holds her and holds her. And I wept watching that movie, just going, this is the heart of our Heavenly Father. And it was not, when Brent was talking about not letting us go and allowing us to, that was the relationship she had with her father. And I've just never forgotten it. And I just thought about that tonight.
Awesome.
I love you, Lonnie.
Um, I asked the Lord to give me an opportunity, and he did. So I kept seeing these Confederates when we were worshiping, and they were sewing back on body parts and limbs and eyes, and it was like really gory, and I'm like, okay. and it was very symbolic that it was Confederates, and I kept saying, God, what are you trying to say here? And he says, look at all the wounded. He says, look at all the wounded. And I'm like going, okay. And he was fixing them all up. And I said, what's the symbolic, you know, symbolism of the Confederates? And he goes, many of the body of Christ think that they're on the losing team. And he says, we're not on the losing teams.
Right.
We are the winners. And he has gone before us, and he has done the fighting for us. And we know the end of the book, and we do win.
That's right.
And he said, but some, and then I saw, I was like, Lord, I don't know if you were taught or somebody said, and we're going to fly away with his spirit. And I saw, like I was attached to a bat, and I'm swatting it away. And he goes, don't swat me away. And I said, it looks like a bat. It doesn't look like the spirit. And he says, it's an inside, upside down kingdom. And he says, where you have to die to live. And you have to lose to win. And it was like, okay, it looks like a bat because it's upside down, because you're looking through your human eyes of understanding instead of your spiritual eyes. And he says, be encouraged. The kingdom of God wins. We are victors in him. And we need to take off our Confederate, you know, we do need to let him sew the broken body parts. We have all been wounded. I mean, when I came in here, it was like everybody was bleeding. And it's just kind of like, let him heal us. Be honest, like Brent said, it totally went with the message. We have been blown up in areas of our life. Our hearts have been broken and our emotions have been tampered with. But if we can allow God to come into those hurting places instead of pretending that we're good Christians and we're pretending we're not burnt out and we're pretending we're not too tired and too this and that, and just be real and honest with him, he is going to come in like a flood, and we are going to experience life like we've never experienced before.
Amen. That's good.
Well, this is something I was going to share with Lonnie in private, but I'm now feeling like I'm supposed to share it with everyone, because it's really a word for everyone anyway. A few weeks ago, I asked Lonnie if I could go pray for Lonnie Jr. I felt that it was God who'd shown me some stuff, and God opened up the door for that to happen. And it was truly an honor and a privilege to be there with young Lonnie. And we had time together, and Lonnie and Angela were in the outside the room praying while we were together praying and talking. And I'll admit, you know, I was hoping for a physical healing. But God did do some healing. He healed some memories. He healed some emotions. And we cried together and we laughed together. Because Lonnie Jr. is such a sweet, sweet spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
And that time I had with him was so special. I will never forget it. I didn't know when I left there that day if his body would be healed or not. I got a text message that woke me up just after 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday to tell me what had happened. And later I went, as I do, my way is to go walking and talking with God and asking him questions, because I have a lot of questions when stuff happens. And I was in pain, I was crying, and I knew other people would be in pain. And not, I mean, I knew Lonnie Jr. was okay. You know, he was with Jesus, and I was happy for him. But it's, what about the rest of us that are left here hurting, you know? And I was remembering stuff, and I said, well, what about that word you gave his dad, you know, that it wasn't going to lead to death? Because I know Lonnie hears from God, you know, so I'm like, what about that? And he said, well, it didn't lead to death. Lonnie's alive. Yeah. Okay. And it was only Lonnie Jr.'s body that died. That was the only thing that died. Everything else is alive with Lonnie. And he's in the best place he could be, you know? And I did go back to sleep after I'd prayed for a while, after I got the text message. And I had a dream. And in the dream, it was like I was half asleep, half awake kind of dream, because it started with me asleep, but I became, you know, started waking up in it. In the dream, I looked out my bedroom window, and I saw this enormous wave that was coming towards my house. Just huge ocean waves just coming as I looked out the window. And as I start to wake up, you know, I'm thinking, how on earth can the ocean be coming to my house? I live in Livermore. That's miles away from the ocean. How can that be? Well, then as I was walking and talking with God, he reminded me about that dream, because I was asking him, well, what the heck did that have to do with Lonnie, you know? Well, then he reminded me, just a while ago, I was at a Vacaville conference with Graham Cook, and in fact, Lonnie and Angela were there as well. And it was an amazing conference. And one of the, there were four huge posters on the wall and two thresholds for us to walk through. One of those huge posters up on that side was a picture of a huge ocean wave with a harvest field underneath it. So God reminded me of that poster, and I knew then what it meant, and I knew then how it related to Lonnie Jr. See, this new wave of God that's coming is so big, it's so huge, like nothing anybody has ever seen before. And it is on its way. I saw it. I saw it coming. It's not a coincidence that all this is happening at the same time that we've had all of these, I'll say deaths, because I don't know if these people in the Hollywood and entertainment industry all knew Jesus or not. But there's been a lot of bloodshed. There was a word put out recently by Sean Bowles where he was saying that all of those deaths in that industry were seeds being sown into Hollywood and the entertainment industry. And believing that God's going to do something amazing in that industry. Well, this is how he then related it for me with Lonnie. You see, Lonnie Jr. was pure and innocent. His blood that was shed was innocent blood, just like Jesus. And just like the Father watched his only son, innocent blood be shed, Lonnie, you get to share in that because this was your only son. That's an honor and a privilege that not many get to share, that cup of suffering. And because his blood was innocent, what the Lord showed me was that he was a seed being sown into this harvest that is coming. And this is this huge wave that's going to bring in this harvest that we've all been talking about. There's a lot of people prophesied about it. But it's real. And there's more of this is going to happen. And if we can see it as seeds being sown into this harvest, because Lonnie Jr. is right there with that heavenly host. And he is going to be cheering us on. So all those words about him bringing people into the kingdom, they're true as well. Because he's going to be cheering us on. He's going to be watching every move that we make. So this is really a time to celebrate him. I mean, it's our pain that we feel. But the bigger the pain, the bigger the grace that goes with it. Because his grace is sufficient. And we need to focus on being happy for Lonnie Jr. because he was amazing, he is amazing, and he's still with us, and he's laughing now, and he's cheering us on now. I believe he's here right now. So thank you.
I just want to share something about Monday night at Wildfire, at Blazing Fire's youth group. We took the night and devoted it to giving. We talked about just giving out and completely just putting out for other people and praying, and we prayed for Lonnie most of the time that night. But I just want to testify about how cool these teenagers are and how cool it is when we give out this way. When these teenagers were, if you could have walked in the room, you would have seen teens just walking all over that room praying for Lonnie. They were grabbing the microphone and praying for him, believing for him. There was one girl that made a huge card that was sitting on the platform in there, and people were coming and signing it. They were signing little pieces of paper, giving Lonnie prophetic words that they were getting. And I looked over at one kid, Christian Merrill, who had some paper, and I don't know why this gets to me so much, but he was sitting on the floor during this worship and prayer time, and he's tearing up pieces of paper, all this, and putting them all over the floor. And I thought, what is he doing right now? And I walked over, and he made a mosaic out of these torn pieces of paper of Lonnie laying in a bed with this huge angel over him. And then the word life over the top. And it was all with these torn pieces of paper. And you could tell exactly what it was. It was beautiful. It made me cry. I brought it to Brent's house to bring over to the hospital. It made me cry then too. But just the heart going out, you know, it was amazing. And just in that atmosphere, I thought I'd tell you this too. We Wildfire supports a little girl in Africa whose mother committed suicide. Her name's Mary. So she's our Wildfire adopted little girl. And we have a little box to put money in to support Mary. And usually when we come home, there's maybe a dollar in it. But this night, there was $120 or something in that box, wasn't there? It was just this night of giving out, you know, and it went all over Lonnie, but it went in other areas too in their hearts. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I wanted to say one more thing too about this online prayer meeting that was going on Facebook. That was wild. That was really cool. Who could keep up with it? There was so much. There were people just getting online and starting to write things to Lonnie about Lonnie. People were praying and responding, and you just couldn't keep up with all this, but as it continued, I was in my living room, and I started getting really lightheaded and feeling weird, and I'm not known to be a drunk around here. I mean, you know, not all the time, but I was in the living room floor on Facebook, and this thing was going on, and I was getting really woozy and lightheaded, and I thought maybe, you know, I needed some water or something, and I realized I am getting plastered right now. But I thought it was inappropriate for a second. I thought, why am I feeling this right now? And the Lord told me, because there's unity in the body happening. I love this. I love how there's unity. And then later on, Kathy Zoffarelli over there sends out an email to people saying that unity was the word she was getting. God loves the unity. He loved how we pulled together, you know. What a cool thing your son did for all of us, you know.
So things about God's character, right? God is good. When my son, before he got diagnosed, I always said God is good. When my son got diagnosed, I still say God is good. My son will believe the Lord, I still know in my heart God is good. And I won't ever waver from that. As a father, yes, I'm going through some emotional things, broken dreams and things, and I'll get through that, but God is good. Another thing, too, God is our joy. There is such a joy in my spirit and my heart. And it happened probably the second month after Lonnie was diagnosed. I was devastated. I didn't know if I could pray no more, preach no more, didn't know what to do no more. But I'm in the hallway, in the corridors, and the joy of the Lord came in me. It never left since. I mean, the real joy of the Lord. Even though I'm mourning the loss of my beloved son, not here with me on this earth, but, you know, from heaven, I have such a joy in my spirit. And I cry, and I lose it still. Don't get me wrong. I drive down the street. I start crying out of nowhere. But this joy remains. Joy has nothing to do with our happiness. So one of his characters is his joy that he gives us. And we need to get that for these things we go through. So I just want to share those two things. I might share more later if you let me, but.
This is when the youth were, I was at the youth meeting, and as they were talking about Lonnie Jr., this is the picture that the Lord gave me, and it was the cloud of witnesses. He's coming in the clouds. We are surrounded. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're all around us, cheering us on, praying for us. Jesus is coming in the cloud of witnesses. And that was, this picture here is the cloud. I don't know if you guys can see it because it's light out of chalk, but that's for you.
Oh, thanks for all the prayers, by the way. I'm sorry. Thank you. Let me just let her. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Did you want to share?
Hi. I don't feel very, like I don't know what was going on or anything, but I would have thought in the past that hearing that would have affected my relationship with God. And this church has gotten so into my heart that the first thought I thought was that God is good still. And I'm like, wow, that is such a miracle. He's faithful and he's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's so much to learn in this church. There's so much to give. And I've come from a really hard place. And I have so much joy in my head and in my heart and in my stomach, which is what I'm learning. And I thank you for being strong for me, all of you. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
I'm amazed about what Jesus is doing to me here. He keeps on surprising me, though. I mean, I don't think that that's abnormal to be surprised by God, but as a Christian, I've been amazed about how that God is rearranging the way I think about how he can handle his people. I do try to encourage him in certain areas where I'm not sure he knows what he's doing. But
understand.
The thing is, the Lord allowed death to touch my life 3 years ago this month when he took my beloved. We had fought her cancer to a standstill. She went into John Muir Hospital for a simple procedure, and they messed it up. And they killed her. The Lord allowed that. And I was amazed. When I found out what the doctors were doing, I just started fasting and yelling and praying. I was having this close encounter with death because I knew what they were doing. But the thing is, God was showing me things I had no idea he was going to allow to happen to me. He's a whole lot bigger than I thought he was. And when I was fighting death, I was fighting for my wife's life. He showed me stuff that was about his comfort. I didn't want to be comforted. I wanted him to save my wife. He showed me more agony than I had ever imagined possible. And yet he was teaching me about things about love that at the time I couldn't understand. But he was still with me. And now people began to communicate with me as I was communicating with them, and God showed me that the most important one of the most important things he could ever show me was that he's able to come to us in our time of need in another brother or sister that is a safe space, that has been comforted by God in the middle of some terrible agony. He has been able to teach that person how to be able to hear the pain of another person. And he was dealing with me with a man whose wife had been killed by medical malpractice years before God had prepared that person, and he could hear my agony. And sometimes the only thing that has made a difference in my life is God allows somebody to be a safe space for me, and Jesus is there. And the Lord gave me some poetry about my beloved. And he showed me that he had taken me, because we were one, he had taken me in her heart. And I had begun to, in my spirit, experience heaven like never before, because I was with her. She's with me in Christ, and Christ is in her, and I'm in Christ. And I saw more about heaven after that than I ever thought I was going to see. And it's changed my life.
Thank you, Michael.
I just want to get back to what Brett was saying about that if you're real with God, that he really does answer you. Because I know a lot of you know about my sister. She died last, well, it was October of 07. And I had cried out to him, and I was really mad because I've been praying for her, for my family, for over 25 years, and I'm thinking, what's up with this, you know? How long is it going to be, Lord? And then 3 or 4 days later, she called me from the hospital and told me she had this God experience, and it was totally awesome. I got the reassurance that I needed, that she was going to be with him, and it was awesome. And then just recently, I'd say about 3 or 4 months ago, I was asking the Lord, I said, you know, heaven sounds like it's going to be great, Lord, but what about now? You know, because I'd been going through being really lonely and going through just being alone for over 18 years. And I said, what about now? And then what's happening now is just totally incredible. My son and his significant other, we're going to buy a home together. And this is totally the Lord. I've gotten a lot of scriptures about it. And it's just moving right along. And it's like, wow. So I'm going to be grandma, and I'm going to be loving it. And it's like, okay, this is awesome, because this is kind of heaven for me, because I love being a grandma. So anyway, do cry out to God, because when you're real with him, he knows anyway what you're feeling. He just wants to give you that opportunity to see him work.
That's right.
So thank you.
That's good. Thank you. Okay. One more.
Recently, God has been showing me that we belong to him. We really do belong to him. And just sitting here tonight, the Lord reminded me of Psalm 116, verse 15. And every time a brother or sister goes home to be with Jesus, he reminds me that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I say, what, Lord? It's precious to me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
That's right. That's good. Thank you. Absolutely right. We were talking about how to get through disappointment and hurt, and I was saying you need to remind yourself, remember his character. And so, how about you just yelling out from where you are, tell me about his character that does not change. Who is he? Who is this God? Compassionate, faithful, love. Keep coming. Keep coming. You know what? Add in, everyone. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm liking these. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, me just hearing these, after a while I couldn't repeat them, they were coming too fast, but you could feel it. It does something when you remember the nature of God, the goodness, the strength, love, goodness of God. It does something to you. But I will tell you, we do have choices in this life. We have a lot of choices, actually. And so one of the choices is we have to choose to go to that place, to remind ourselves of His goodness. It's totally a choice. And that's what Lonnie's doing. I mean, you know, for some of you to have him come up and stand here and say what he did, it almost seems incongruent from what we normally would see in people who just lost a son a day and a half ago. But it's really not congruent in the kingdom. And of course there'll be times when Lonnie grieves. He has to. It's absolutely a part of getting through the loss. And I told Lonnie this, but God's going to be crying with him. Not because of Lonnie Jr. God's happy to have Lonnie Jr. Do you know that that's the fulfillment of his heart? He's waiting to have you back with him. He really is. He's longing for you to be back with him. He can't wait for that day. Think about all the surprises he's got waiting for you. Things that are going to blow your minds. That he's giddy with excitement waiting for you. So it's not about Lonnie, but he's Lonnie Jr., but he cries with Lonnie Sr. because he knows the pain. And he also knows what Lonnie doesn't know yet. And so he can cry with you because he understands that. Another thing we choose to do that gets us out of these places is to worship. And it really is a choice. Worship is a choice. God is worthy of it. He's given us voices, bodies, you know, hands that can be raised, voices that can be raised. But it is absolutely our choice to use them. Last night I went to a prayer service in Livermore where a bunch of pastors and Christians and even a couple of dignitaries, three of the four mayors from this Tri-Valley were all there last night. And you know what? The first thing that happened was worship. And it was great worship. But this was the same. This was just later in the day after, that I had learned that morning that Lonnie Jr. had gone to be with Jesus. And you know, there is that. I'm telling you, after there's a euphoria in battle that's very real. I mean, that was that Facebook thing. It's, you know, there's this euphoria and excitement of the battle. When there's a casualty, if the way we see it, not the way God sees it, but there is this big letdown that's very real. And so I was in that place still when I came to this worship. And I wasn't depressed, but just kind of, okay, regaining, getting the compass, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, trying to regain myself. And so I was in that place, and they began to worship, and it was very easy to worship. But as soon as I did, I mean, it was my choice, lifting my hands and choosing to worship God. And as I did that, I'm telling you, the presence of God just began to lift up my spirit, lift up my soul, my emotions. It just came right along with it. And again, it isn't that all of a sudden, suddenly everything's okay. Like Lonnie said, joy has nothing to do with the happiness of circumstances. It's just that God's God. And He's good. And when we go to that place of worship, it does something to us. So even tonight, it was important for some of you to be here tonight. Maybe this was the first time you actually re-engaged with worship after finding out the news. Especially those of you who prayed so hard and believed so strongly. But I want to encourage you, this is obviously not just about tonight. I'm saying any time that you're discouraged, that you're going through the hurt of something, your choice to worship God is huge. And also your choice to thank Him. It's another one is thanksgiving. You know, we see in Philippians 4 is be thankful. You know, in all things, just be thankful. When we're thanking God, he says the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But that's all tied into thanksgiving. And what it's saying is that it's really hard to stay in a bad place when you are meditating and reflecting on the goodness of God and all the things that you really do have to be thankful for. And you can start with Jesus and what he's done for you. You could stay there for a long, long time just to be thankful for that alone. And here's another choice. Choose again. This is for everyone here. When you go through discouragements, choose again to believe what he says is true about himself, about you, and about others. This is that trusting childlike heart. And I'm going to read a proverb that you probably most of you in this room know by heart. If you've memorized much scripture at all, this would be one you've memorized. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The one that I know it memorized it in the NIV is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. But I want to read it to you in the New Jerusalem Bible. It says, trust wholeheartedly in Yahweh and put no faith in your own perception. Put zero faith in your own perception and how you're seeing it and what you think ought to have happened and to be done. Except when your perception perfectly lines up with his. Put no faith in your own perception. Acknowledge him in every course you take, and he will see that your paths are smooth. And what I want to say, we know that faith pleases God, but let me tell you what faith is not. Faith isn't being free from struggles and even doubts. That's actually, I know this is going to sound a little weird, but try to hang with me here. That's not what faith is not like, having this perfect record of never doubting God. If that were the case, then all of us failed. But faith is choosing to go back and believe God anyway. After you've duked it out, after you realize you don't have the answers, when you go back and say, but God, you are good. I don't have it all understood, but you're good. I'm telling you, that is massive faith that wildly pleases the Father. And honestly, it can't really be genuine faith unless you're going through genuine struggles, unless it is genuinely tested. So, you know, it isn't about this perfect record of never struggling. I've been around long enough now as a pastor, almost 20 years, to see things like this, that basically a whole church comes together, because we've been praying for Lonnie for a year. And very intensely for a month, and very, very intensely the last couple of days. And I've seen where when churches come together and really go after something like this, and then it does not end up the way that we had asked, I see whole churches fall apart, literally just disintegrate. I've watched it on several occasions. But I will tell you, that will not happen here. And I've seen up in Reading, our parent church, how just the opposite has happened. Even when they face, tremendous pain over something that didn't go as they had prayed, there is in the kingdom, if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, there is a greater victory that comes out of that. And because our hope is actually not in the miracle, our hope is in the Lord. And that's the difference. Because every single person in this room has experienced that, where we hoped upon hope and upon hope for a miracle that did not come through. But that is not where our hope is. Our hope is in Christ. And that hope will never, ever disappoint us, says in Romans 5. Never, ever. You know, what's this life about then? What's it really about? Well, Paul says there's only three things that are going to remain. That's faith, and that's hope, and that's love. Three things are going to remain: faith, hope, and love. Faith is again what I just said, choosing to believe God anyway, no matter what it looks like to you, agreeing with God. And somehow, I'm telling you, whatever faith you have exercised, that you have shown, somehow that lasts forever. In the kingdom, in God's economy, that lasts and lasts and lasts. Like in Hebrews 11, where we have that litany of these amazing people who have gone before us, and by faith they did this, and by faith. Do you know there's a litany in heaven written about you? That by faith you did this, and by faith you did that, and by faith you kept going, and by faith you believed God again anyway. Do you know that that's being written in heaven and it's going to be saved? That's what it says. It lasts forever. How about hope? Hope is that certainty in your heart of knowing what's coming. I've described it before as like the giddiness of a little child the night before they're going to go to Disneyland and they can't even sleep because it's so real, because they know it's coming the next day because mom and dad said so. Mom and dad don't lie. Mom and dad said so. That's the hope. It's the giddiness. It's the joy that no one can take from you of what you know is coming. And that, I'm telling you, hope is put into us by the Holy Spirit. It's God's hope that's right inside of us. So why did we pray and pray and pray and believe and believe and believe that Lonnie was absolutely going to be healed? I'm telling you, when we left the hospital Thursday night, he was joking around with us. I wrote this in the letter, but I'm going to say it again. The last thing, I put my hand over his heart and I said, Lonnie, this is about 11:30 at night, which ended up to be about 5 hours or so before he went to be with Jesus. And I put my hand in his heart and I said, Lonnie, I'm speaking life into you again. You're a strong man, and he is a strong man. And I said, you know, I spoke this life into him. And Lonnie said, that's when he said to me, he goes, when he was, I just got to tell you this, he was listening to the CDs of the prayers for him from the House of Prayer, in East Bay House of Prayer. And I'm telling you, they were going after it. They were, if you've ever been around there, they were declaring his freedom from cancer in this life. And they were going after it. And he loved it. I'm telling you, Lonnie Jr. is a great man of faith. I'm telling you, for his age, he blew me away. Now at his age, he's off the charts. But where he is now, I'm telling you. Anyway, I'm losing where I was going. So the CD, he was listening to the CDs. And in those CDs, they were just declaring, you know, you'll get up out of that bed, Lonnie. Get up, get up, get up. And so, in fact, when we were listening to that with the family in the room, he first of all was listening to it on the headphones, a new one, because it was another prayer that was coming along. He was listening to it for the first time, and he was like, let everyone hear it. And the room was packed with family, and I don't know, you know, there's 20 people easy, 25 people in that room. And he wanted everyone to hear it, so we cranked it up, and I mean, they were going after it. So when later on I spoke life into him again, he was, this was his hand, he was taking his finger over my hand, and he was like doing this as he was talking to me to make sure he was emphasizing his point. His breathing was very labored, so he wasn't talking this clearly, but he was saying, and when I get out of this hospital this weekend, I'm going to give my testimony a blazing fire. Which he is, by the way. And I said to him, Lonnie, you can have the whole night. You can preach, you can do it all, you can have the whole night. And he said, well, not the singing part. So I'm telling you, the point I was making is that we, when Suzanne and I left that hospital, we had tremendous hope and assurance in our heart that he was absolutely going to beat this thing. Like, we didn't think maybe. Now, I'm telling you, there's one of two possibilities. One is either we totally miss God. And honestly, I'm not willing to go there because I know I've been around long enough to know what God feels like. I know in my heart when he's doing something. Here's the second possibility, and that is that he injects so much hope into us from heaven that, of course, that's the way we're going to see things. Do you understand that? That's what hope is. Without hope, we die. We perish. If we don't have hope, we don't go on living. And so I want to tell you that some of the reasons why we keep doing this, like how do we get up on this horse again? Well, you know what? My answer is you're going to have to. It's really not going to be an option. And it's not going to be because, oh, well, I have to because, what, you know, I'm a Christian. God said I have to. No, I'm telling you because the Holy Spirit fills you with hope. So what are you going to do with it next time that rises up? You're either going to go with it or you're going to be kind of miserable trying to squash it back down. Like, oh, I can't have this hope. I don't want to be disappointed again. And honestly, that's what I'm talking about tonight. Disappointment is part of the journey. But I'm telling you, if you will be real with God through it, you're going to come out stronger on the other side. That's just what he does. So there's faith, there's hope, and there is love. And the greatest of these is love. That's the one thing that's never wasted. Keep loving people. I'm going to tell you, Lonnie Jr. knew he was loved. And those words that we were reading over him, almost every single one of you said, Lonnie, I love you. We love you so much. Some of you didn't even know him yet, had not met him yet, but you loved him. And it was genuine because you were feeling that in the spirit. Love is the one thing that's never wasted. It is. Love is stronger than death. So the last thing, and we're going to move into communion in a little bit here. I just want to say this. That if you're thinking, if you're ever in that point where you're saying, this is just too hard, I can't do this. I don't want to get back on that horse again. I don't want to because it hurts too much. I just want to read the end of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, as it is, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, the three of them, and the greatest of them is love. And he goes on, verse 14, verse 1, he says, make love your aim, but be eager too for spiritual gifts, and especially prophesying, which is declaring, you know, the truth of God to people. Do you see he goes right on? In other words, what he's saying, if you're thinking, you know, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to get my hopes up. I'm not going to pray for people. It's just too difficult. And maybe you're thinking, okay, I'll just love. I won't ever pray for anyone. I'll hug him, but I won't pray for him. That's fine. That's actually not a terrible thing. But I'm telling you, Paul goes right on to say, but guess what? There is more to this. And with that love, you're going to be given power. You're going to be given authority. You're going to be given gifts to go out and to use them. That's just the way it is. So God's really patient with us. Sometimes we need a season of backing off because of disappointment, and he'll wait you out. It's okay. He's not going to pressure you. He's not going to put his thumb on you and make you get back in before you're ready. But I'm just telling you, you're gonna get back in. And last night, remember I told you I was at that prayer meeting? This is so God. I can't tell you how God this is. So it's the end of the service. We've wrapped it up. And I'm minding my own business. In other words, I'm not out looking for anyone to talk to or pray with. It's been a long day. I'm probably just going to kind of sneak out and go home, you know, if I can be honest between us and everyone who will ever listen to this. And right then, Pam, this pastor, she comes up with a woman and says, would you pray with us, please? Would you help me pray with this woman? Sure. You know, sure I will. And she says, well, her 19-month-old son, Daniel, is struggling with cancer. There you have it. What are you going to do? There's no option. And it was so easy to pray for him. And it was so easy to go right back into the authority of saying cancer will not take this young man out of you know, out of his destiny. I prayed all the same prayers that we just prayed for Lonnie Jr. And it wasn't done with any sense of, gosh, am I being hypocritical? Am I being silly? It's in the spirit. You go right back in the spirit. He re-injects you with the hope and the faith and the love. And there you go. You keep going. And one day, soon, when we're all with the Lord, he's going to say, I am so proud of you for choosing to believe me, no matter what. And that's what we're going to do. We keep going. And we are going to see. We are going to keep seeing many, many miracles. Many. We've seen many. And that's what makes it so difficult, because we've seen people healed of cancer. We've seen people healed of horrible cancer, where they have days to live and God completely turns it around. And that's what makes it difficult when it doesn't always happen that way. And we're left with the questions that right now we can't answer. But God is good. And we're going to keep going. And we are going to see victory. And we are going to move from glory to glory to glory until we are completely in his glory. Until there's no difference between him and us. Until we're completely engrafted. And we see him and we realize that we are like him. That's what's coming. So we're going to take communion. Todd, are you still in the house? Would you come back? Sometimes I just get impressions, you know, from God along the way, and I learned that when I follow those, it's usually a good thing. And so the impression I got was before communion, I really thought it would be great to go back into how he loves us, that last song that we sang. Again, you know, just especially because that was written by someone who had just gone through that crushing and the disappointment. And this was the outcome of staying engaged with God, is this song. And Kat, come on up too. Like some of the band, if you're here, come up. Go for it. And as we're doing that, before you start, Todd, let me just kind of... Well, actually, okay, the people that were going to serve communion, if you could already come up, there was a few of you that I asked. And would the Dailies, would you serve communion too? Would you do that? And actually, I'm going to wait. We're going to go ahead and sing this, and then I'm going to just explain what we're going to do. Was not free, it was bought at the cost of the blood of Jesus. But I want to remind you that this freedom that you're going to agree with as you come up in a moment to take communion, it's freedom from sin, freedom from destruction, freedom from judgment, freedom from condemnation, freedom from separation, freedom from the fear of punishment. And as you come up, you are agreeing that you are free in Christ to be loved and to love, to be blessed and to be a blessing, to be honored and to honor, to be treasured and to see the treasures in others. You are free to worship with all you have. You are free to co-labor with God to usher in his kingdom. And you are free to live forever with the one who wants you and longs for you with all of his heart. That's what you're agreeing with. All the way over there's wine in that goblet. These two are grape juice. If you're one of those and you know you need to get back on that horse and you're ready to do that tonight, to actually pray for healing and go for it again, I actually want you to be one of the first to come up and take communion. And just if a handful of you would kind of go around the corner here to pray for anyone who wants healing, because we're going to keep going. Jesus heals. That truth has not changed. Jesus still heals. So if that's you and you want to do that, you need to do that, come on up and just and go over there. And for any of you, just come up as you're ready. And I bless you in the name of Jesus with the life and the love of Christ poured into you. In Jesus' name. So come up as you're ready.